from the Global Rallycross Championship. This is GRC Live Radio, bringing you the latest, where action sports stars, racing's biggest names, and the world's fastest cars collide. Here are your GRC Live hosts, Jim Beaver and Kate Osborne.
Good morning from Atlanta Motor Speedway, man. It's great to be here with GRC Live Radio, our first ever live show from a Global Rallycross event, here with my co-host Kate Osborne, and it's been a great couple days here in Atlanta.
Absolutely, it has been a great couple of days here. It's been hot and humid, and that is racing.
Well, and that's one thing about Global Rallycross this year that everybody's come to know is, rain, storm, it doesn't matter. You know, Global Rallycross is here to race.
That's exactly right. That's the cool thing about Rallycross is, unlike a lot of other series, we like those little extra elements added to our racing because, if it wasn't for that, the little action may not happen for you. But, thank you for having me, y'all, by the way, on the show here. I'm so pumped that we're getting this started and I think Global Rallycross is such an opportunity to really expand what we have going. We're such a new series here in the States, and I know that we're really looking to do what we can to get out there and reach the world because I think we really have a really awesome sport.
Well, it's nothing like anybody's ever seen before, I don't think. You come out to one of these races, and I think, the fans here in Atlanta today, speaking of that, if you're tuning in from the Atlanta area, you definitely need to make it out here to the track this afternoon. You got plenty of time to get tickets, lots of tickets left, and come out and enjoy the fun. But, I think people are used to seeing NASCAR, IndyCar, and it was funny. I was talking to somebody in the airport yesterday, and the guy goes, "You're here for Global Rallycross?" I said, "Yeah," and he says, "Those cars are so awesome." He's like, "They're on the dirt. They're on the pavement." He's like, "And they're little cars like my mom drives," and he was so excited, and it was funny talking to this guy because he's like, "Man, Tanner Faust, that guy is awesome," and, these fans are just hardcore fans.
So badly, you want someone to see it, you want them to be a part of it, because, you can talk about, think about it this way, there's dirt, and there's drifting, and there's jumps, and people have a tendency to think, okay, Supercross, Motocross, all right, and then you say, but it's racing, so then they think, NASCAR, it's such a hard thing to conceptualize until you really, really see it, and, I think that is the coolest thing that we offer, is once you see it, you're kind of like, that's I like that, that's something I can watch, and then also, you can then go to the Ford dealership and see that Ford VS sitting there. You're like, that's something. Can we go do that with just Ford VS? It looks so much. It's so similar. Kit-wise, one out of the dealership.
Well, and I think, knowing Ford, I mean, they've got the EcoBoost Focus ST now and Fiesta ST, and I think that those were really developed because of Ford's involvement in Rallycross, and I think it was being able to give the customers what they're seeing on track, or at least somewhat of a version of it.
Sure, absolutely. And, a lot of our demographic is such that, we're really cool. We're in a cool way. We have something that we offer that's very different than a lot of other series, our demographic, and, we really are out there with the 18 to 35-year-olds. And then we have, my dad. Oh, my gosh, my dad is a crazy super fan when it comes to Global Rallycross. He was pumped because before I got so heavily involved with it, he thought he founded Global Rallycross. So our demographic is so cool because it spans through so many different places, but we connect so well because it is an opportunity to feel like you're looking at those cars and you're able to see them and then you're able to go drive them yourself.
Well, and I think, a lot of Global Rallycross's appeal, too, is, the different types of drivers. I mean, we've got guys, Scott Speed, he's, ran in Formula One, and, we've got IndyCar drivers and NASCAR drivers and off-road drivers and rally guys and drifters, and it's all, everything's converging in one sport, and you're bringing all these different personalities, and I think it's, it's really makes for interesting races.
How I am with this, and it's so interesting because not only is it an educate, we have to educate people on their sport. First off, you see it, and you're like, oh, that's cool, okay, I want to understand the heats and the LCQs and the finals and how all that works. you know, additionally, like you said, we have almost consumer-ready cars. We have, you know, cars that people can go to the dealership and say, hey, I thought I saw that out at Atlanta Motor Speedway. You know, I wonder if I can go that fast. And then we also have decided that we're, our personalities that we're drivers are so unique. You know, when I came on board and back in February, it was, okay, how can we create these guys into personalities rather than just a GRC driver? I think we offer something that we, as you said, we have a slew of different kinds of drivers and personalities and people who have come from so many different outlets and avenues, and it makes it so much more interesting because, you know, we're not just a NASCAR driver. We're not just IndyCar drivers. We really do have a guy who has been in so many different series, and that just attracts so many different kinds of people. It's really cool to see how it's all coming together.
Well, and I think, you know, for me, I've been around quite a few different motorsports, and I know you have. And, I mean, you walk through the Global Rallycross paddock area, and it's so different than, say, you know, an IndyCar paddock that, you know, I know that you have experience in. And, you know, it's just, to me, it's you know, the drivers are so much more accessible to the fans. And I think that's, you know, one of the, you know, just a key part of Global Rallycross is, you know, these kids see these superheroes, Travis Pastrana, Ken Block, you know, Brian and Tanner, and, you know, and they can walk up and touch them and talk to them. And, you know, and well, and I know yesterday you guys did something special talking about, you know, the fans and giving back. You guys spent some time at the Atlanta Children's Hospital, correct?
And, you know, that, I am a selfie. I've been involved with Riley Children's Hospital out in Indianapolis, and I'm that girl that I just get really heartfelt, you know, heartfelt feelings towards those kids. I am so pumped that Global Rallycross paired yesterday with the hospital because well, it was kind of an all-together Atlanta Motor Speedway at Global Rallycross and Children's Hospital in Atlanta, and I actually, it was one of those times where you could really see the guys, Steve Arpin and Tanner Faust, really connecting with what was going on, right? And it's coming back away from it, talking to the guys, you could see that is what makes this racing thing so special for them, is being able to do certain aspects of that. And there were kids there, it was a wide gamut of kids, you know, we had certain ones in the hospital because they were in a car accident, which that was unique. I had an experience with one little girl. She was my girl. She's in a wheelchair, and we were dancing. She was playing some music off her phone, and we were just doing this. We were doing some disco, and she was my girl. And, you know, talking to her, you know, what was her issue? She was saying she was in a car accident. And I was like, oh, okay. So then I'm trying to spin, how can we connect what we're doing? We're talking about cars. These guys, you know, they crash bad times anyways. And I say, but hey, you know, listen, these guys were on car accidents all the time. Tanner Faust just crashed, you know, couple weekends ago, and she's like, he did? Yeah, and look at him, he's up walking and moving, and she's like, wow, you know, like, so that, it was neat to kind of say, hey, you know, here's a different perspective, and you can just see with Steve Arpin and Tanner Faust, you know, they were really, really enjoying it, and then we also had a special guest, Catherine Webb, for anyone who might know her out there, Miss Alabama, and, you know, it was just a really great event, and even if it was one kid or 55 million kids, it was, you know, their day was right, and I'm happy.
Yeah, that's you know, it's great. You go to all these different cities around the country and able to give back to each one of them. And let's talk a little bit about X Games, man. Talk about a wild race last weekend, huh?
Yeah, it was one of those times where, you know, WWE is so untouchable right now, and you know, he gets out first, and it's like he just not stopping.
He checks out.
Everyone would have said, you know, maybe the jump wasn't as high as people wanted, but I think people weren't totally too upset with the
jump.
Yeah. I think people were, I talked to a couple of drivers afterwards, and a couple of them were okay with it.
My thing, you know, it's been a learning experience. I know, you know, GRC last year they had some troubles with some of the tracks, but I think this year they've, you know, it's got a great mix of dirt and tarmac, and I think, you know, X Games it was wide, and that's what made it great because there was so much passing involved, you know, and I think these drivers, you know, you talk with them, and you know, for the most part, I think they loved it, being able to, you know, pass. It wasn't follow the leader, you know.
Absolutely, and I think that's the one thing that happens in racing is when you get onto a track, you know, even in road courses and in other. qualifying order, and you're like, well, I'm stuck here, you know.
Yeah.
And I think that can get probably pretty. I've never been a driver, and I've never, you know, never been in that driving seat. But I can imagine what it would be like to know that you're qualifying order and you're stuck there. So I think that X Games LA really provided quite a different dynamic for those drivers.
Yeah. Speaking of driver's seat, so you've never taken a turn in like the 2-seat car with Tanner or something like that?
Speedway, when we announced that the event was going to be August 5th today, this was back in March or something, and I was getting acclimated to what Rallycross was, and just meeting Tanner, just meeting everybody involved, and next thing you know, I end up in a Rallycross car with Tanner on the straightaway here at Atlanta Motor Speedway. And I'm not joking, Chris Leone, who does social media for Global Rallycross and does a lot of our articles as well, a great resource to have. He found a picture of me and Tanner, and I looked ridiculous. I never looked so scared in my life. So clearly, I am not. Those G-forces really get me.
I think we need to send you up to dirt fish school or something.
I think a lot of people are scared.
Nice.
You need to get yourself in a car for sure.
Yeah.
Have you been with one of these drivers specifically?
No, I tested the GRC lights with OMSE earlier this year, and you know, I got to drive that, and poor Patrick Sandell was my driving coach.
Poor Patrick.
Yeah.
Not Patrick Sandell. Poor Patrick.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny because here I am an off-road driver. You know, I've got the same background as Bryce Menzies. And, you know, and I talked with him, and he had kind of the same troubles coming into a rallycross car as I did. You know, we're taught, and Brian's the same way. You know, you go in off-road, and the rear ends, you're always sliding. Everything's sideways, you know. And so I get into that car, and, you know, Andreas Eriksson's there, and Patrick's in the car with me. And we go, and I just start, you know, it was gun-ho right out of the box, and I'm banging through gears, you know what I mean? And we get to this one corner, and I've never even been around that course. And I must have been going like 80, 90 miles an hour, and I went into a slide, and the whole car spun out. Here, Patrick and I go spinning across the course, taking out cones and everything else. And he just looks at me and goes, yeah, you shouldn't do that. You know, it's funny because then I get out of the car, and Andreas walks up, and he shakes his head, and he goes, you and Brian, both the same. Car always sideways. He's all... Yeah, well, and he goes, what you guys got to remember, this not off-road. He's like, these are proper race cars. And I said, all right, you know, and we got a laugh out of it. And by the end of the day, I was putting down good lap times. But, you know, it's just funny. They're different cars. And I think, you know, you've got, you know, I think that's part of the, you know, some of these guys, they come in and it is different, you know, and it's different than IndyCar, NASCAR. And I think, you know, it's a learning curve for anybody.
Cars, different tracks, different elements of a track that you don't normally get in a NASCAR, IndyCar, even Supercross, obviously.
Yeah.
So I think that's a whole other topic. I could talk a lot about that one.
Well, it should be fun when we get Tanner on air later, and we'll talk to about the he's driven more cars than anybody I know of. So, you know, it'd be interesting to get his take on the different vehicles he's driven.
Oh, there's so much you can talk about with these guys overall. You know, the conversations of racing now, if you don't want to talk racing with them, that's one thing. But the conversations that you get these guys going, it's so interesting what you can learn. Just hearing, you know, whether he's Ryan Deegan or Tanner, you know, Ken. There's just so many different, you know, the Swedish, you know, Swedish guys. You know, we got Patrick Fidel. These guys have so much experience in so many different places and unique experiences. So there's a lot to look forward to here with this show to really dive into all of that.
All right, thank you. We're going to cut to a short break, and when we come back, looks like we'll have Scott Speed on air.
Fortune 500 companies choose Royal Purple Lubricants to protect and improve the performance of their multi-million dollar equipment. The same high performance technology is also available for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, or ATV. Royal Purple enhances performance and provides superior protection for anything wrapped in metal. Royal Purple is the performance oil that outperforms. For independent tests and endorsements that document Royal Purple benefits, go to royalpurple.com. That's royalpurple.com.
Experience the evolution of Action Motorsports Radio. High impact, no filler, huge guests, and only the motorsports you care about. Off-road, rally, drifting, motocross, snowcross. Join the revolution and tune in to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, hosted by trophy truck driver Jim Beaver, every Monday at 9:30 a.m. Pacific at downanddirtyshow.com.
Two drivers, two very different stories heading home on a dark evening.
I hit the open road.
A deer popped out of nowhere. I panicked.
I saw a deer in the road. I slowed down.
I jerked the wheel. I wish I could have seen it.
I drove around it and was home before the next song on the radio.
With Silver Star Headlights from Sylvania, you'll see more of the road ahead. Remember, headlights dim over time. Replace them before you are left in the dark. Visit your automotive retailer and choose the whitest, brightest light. Silver Star Headlights from Sylvania.
Welcome back to GRC Live Radio. I'm your host, Jim Beaver, with Kate Osborne, who has stepped out of the office here for a second. And we've got Scott Speed, who sat down with us, gold medal winner from Brazil. How's it going, Scott?
It's going great. How you doing?
Doing all right. I mean, it's kind of been a whirlwind year for you. I mean, you started off on pretty much, you know, the highest note that that you can start off on. And, you know, how's the season been since then?
It's been interesting, for sure. Learning a lot. It's one of those things where... you know, it's extremely entertaining race. There's you know, it's probably the one racing series I've ever driven in that even though you're the fastest car out there, there's still absolutely no guarantee that you're going to finish anywhere near the front. There's a lot of stuff that happens, and it's extremely exciting from all standpoints. So, you know, it's just getting used to, you know, the series and these cars and how they're racing, which is something that's super exciting.
Well, I'm sure it's been a major learning experience for you this year. You know, I mean, you've driven just about, you know, everything you can imagine, but adjusting to these cars is just a little bit different, I'm sure.
They are, but it's not so much. At the end of the day, they're still race cars. The four-wheel drive aspect makes them a lot easier to control, for sure. It seems like you can get into a lot of trouble in the corner and still get out of it. Pretty much no matter what. I've failed to enter a corner in by myself and lose the car by any means. So the four-wheel drive aspect makes it, you know, super easy to drive as basically as hard as you want. So there's a lot of different ways to skin that cat, which is fun. And ultimately, the tracks are forever changing. So you see, even like last week in Vegas or in Los Angeles, the corners were you know, you'd have barriers moving around the racetrack during the race. So it's something that is from that aspect of just how much everything's changing throughout the weekend, and let alone just the one race. That's certainly a lot different.
Yeah, how was you know? Gosh, you guys have been all over you know, all over the world at this point. I mean, you know, run you know. All kinds of different courses. I mean, you know, what's been your favorite thus far?
You know, they're all different. I don't have a favorite yet. I think one thing that you can say about all of them is that all of them have attracted just a ton of spectators and a ton of fans out there. No matter where it's been, whether it's been in Bristol or LA or whatnot, it's really cool to see the draw that we're getting and the excitement that the fans have for the sport.
Well, and I know, you know, GRC is just a small part of your racing program. How's everything else been going this year?
Everything's going great. On the Cup side, we had a top 10 finish at Talladega with our team LFR Racing. So that's That's been fantastic. We look like we're going to be able to announce some really cool stuff at the end of the year on that front, you know, expanding that program even more this next year. So that's all been going really well. It's just it's fun now that I have sort of two baskets to put my eggs in, I guess you could say. It's fun to be able to take one hat off after the weekend and put the other one on for the next. It keeps things certainly very entertaining on my side.
Oh, I can only imagine, you know. And how's that been as a driver? I mean, switching from a, you know, a NASCAR to a rallycross car. I mean, it's, you know, as far as machinery, it's the complete opposite ends of the world.
It's not so much different. Ultimately, when you take away the four-wheel drive part, they're not so different. They're still saloon cars, and you got to remember my background's open wheel racing. So coming from a Formula One car to a NASCAR is a different transition than going from a cup car to a rally car. So it's not that bad. I've made bigger changes.
Well, speaking of that, I mean, you know, how's the Formula One, you know, experience carry over into something like a rallycross car? Anything you can, you know, in Cup for that matter?
Well, some stuff definitely transfers over from the Formula One side of things, and that's mostly the adjustments from inside the car, the in-car adjustments that the driver has. In F1, you have quite a few. In NASCAR, you have none. And here, you have a few. So, that kind of transfers over a little bit. The starting procedure, starting from a standing start, that kind of transfers over. But from a driving style standpoint, you know, this is honestly probably the most similar to racing a shifter kart. So, you know, that's something that obviously I have a lot of experience with as well. So they're all different in their own ways, and it's cool that the rally thing has its own sort of identity, and it's very clearly different from everything else.
Well, it looks like Kate Osborne just joined us again. How's everything going, Kate?
Good. We just were, you know, getting a few other drivers here. We're going to have a couple more here come on the show in just a bit.
Nice. So we were just talking with Scott about how, you know, everything's transferred over with all these different things he races into, you know, into the rallycross car.
Yeah. I can remember out back in Brazil, I think Scott and I had an interview, and it was, you know, what was it that was in your racing, what it was that was probably the most helpful in getting you through the track at Foz?
Yeah, we're just talking about that. I think actually, out of all the things that I've driven, the shifter kart racing has been something that's been the most similar. But nothing really prepares you for four-wheel drive until you drive it. So, but to be fair, that's not much of a driving tool as it is more of a will save you if you get into any kind of trouble tool. It seems like you can drive the cars infinitely hard and not really get into too much problems unless you hit something. So from a driving standpoint or a car control standpoint, that makes it rather fun to be able to take a car way past the normal limits.
Yeah, I can imagine that being the case.
So, I mean, you know, with your pavement background, I mean, are you, you know, how's it been adjusting to life with, you know, half the course being graveler?
I think that, you know, that's all, you know, not that big a deal because ultimately there's one fast way around the track, and as a racing driver, you need to figure out what that is. I think what's different is getting used to the changing conditions, and that being, you know, the from one session to the other, being prepared for, you know, a quite a bit, you know, different circumstance getting into a corner or even a barrel moving, you know, lots of different things that can change throughout a race that makes it, you know, quite interesting and different.
Now, what would you say is your favorite, like, element of the track when you, even you're talking about different ones that are changing? Is there something that's consistent enough that you can say, you know, I really enjoy that.
You know, honestly, I kind of enjoy the jump the most, and unfortunately, the coolest one we've had so far was in Brazil, so it's been a while since we've had a big jump, but, you know, being able to control the pitch of the car in the air with the gas pedal, that's certainly a first for me, and I really enjoyed that, and I think it showed the performance of the cars in the fact that, you know, you can, you know, they can withstand so much abuse, and it really shows, you know, the advanced suspension that the car has that otherwise you don't really get the chance to see.
Well, it looks like we just got joined by Tanner Faust. How's everything going, Tanner?
Good. Going good. Wide awake. Ready to go sauce it up a little bit. Should be good. Don't steal my coffee.
I think he walked in here with like a low fat soy macchiato frappuccino.
Rockstar.
Only
that's
180 degrees
is.
Or something.
It's a blueberry flavor rockstar.
So what do you think of Atlanta thus far? I know you spent some time at the Children's Hospital yesterday.
That was a very cool experience. A lot of cool kids, and that was awesome. And I've got friends in town also. Rutledge is, lives here, my co-host from Top Gear. And so it's cool to go have a little bit of a barbecue in his backyard. And Sonoya, which is where he lives, which is where they shoot Walking Dead. And so
we want everyone to come from Sonoya, I think. Everyone from Sonoya should come out.
Yeah.
Mentioning this, now all of a sudden, there's going to be this huge rush of people to Sonoya like there was with the vampire movies.
Yeah, come on over. Everyone's welcome here at Atlanta Mercy Day.
Yesterday was cool, and I've only been able to do that a few times, go to children's hospitals around the country. And I was lucky enough to kind of compete in a race, a celebrity race in Long Beach that is a big proponent of the children's hospital there in Long Beach and Orange County. And it's always a cool experience, and it puts things in perspective. You kind of forget the whole politics of, are we going to use this tire or that tire, team relations or, anything that seems like a big issue in your life definitely gets squashed in the face of what these kids are going through. So it's a pretty amazing experience.
And real quick, was there anyone yesterday that stood out to you as a...
There were probably five. The thing is, like, Jake was the last kid that came through. And it's some of these kids that come through that are, they're tired because they're, maybe they're drugged up. They just came, one kid came right out of a surgery. And so you never know how to interact with them or what's going to be comfortable to interact, how it's going to be comfortable to interact with them, or how comfortable they are at talking or moving or shaking hands even, something like that. And then some kids, they just, you can tell they're going through a lot, but then they just burst out of their skin and open up and just laugh, and they're like kids. And that's how Jake was. Jake was a very charismatic little kid going through chemotherapy. And so such a, in talking to his mom, it just, the guy's just a little trooper. And that's, I think there's strength in kids that adults should be envious of.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I got to be honest, I was jealous. I mean, you literally walk away, you're like, wow, if I could have that courage, if I could have, every day you get through that, but.
Yeah, I mean, the feeling you could easily be brushed off as like ignorance is bliss. Like they don't know how hard this is that they're really going through. But the fact is they're just, it's like when you play with a little kid on the floor, who's like two or three, their whole world, anything that's out of their reach doesn't really matter. Anything that's on the carpet in front of them is their whole world. And sometimes that is courage, is just focusing literally on what's in front of you and getting it done and moving on to the next thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, I mean, this year, GRC, obviously, you've won the past two championships. How's this year been? I mean, you think the competition's been a little bit steeper?
I think that definitely the competition is stronger this year than last year, especially in the Ford camp. We have six cars running instead of two. But it's also been a little bit more chaotic with the 10 cars in the first corner. There's really just a percentage of cars that doesn't make it. And Toppy has found his way through the hole every time almost. And I think I've done three events where I never made it to turn two. And there's a lot of guys in the paddock that have the same, it's kind of hit or miss sort of feeling. But at the same time, you can't discount from the level of competition that is, changing. Even if you look at other manufacturers, their cars have all gotten so much faster. Last year and the year before, and actually the 2 years before that, when Rallycross was kind of in a different form in the U.S., we always had a little bit of a detuned version of our European car. And now we come out with the full spec and just barely hang with everybody. Yeah, so it's definitely a lot faster out on the track.
Yeah, well, and I mean, to me, this year the courses, they've been so much different. I mean, last year was a lot of speedways. I mean, this year you've had, obviously you had Bristol and to Atlanta. I mean, they're both speedways, but it's a total change up. And then, X Games, it was, wide open, lots of passing course. And it just seems like, they're really, the tracks, they put a lot of thought into them this year.
I think the tracks are great. I think they're getting a lot better. And it's tricky because this is, you go on YouTube and you look at some of the racing that's been going on. in the rest of the world with rallycross, mainly in Europe where it's been going on since 1967. And you look at those tracks, and they've been purpose-built rallycross tracks. And where this sport is bigger around the rest of the world, there are purpose-built tracks that have lots of interesting terrain, and the dirt is kind of sorted out in a way that it doesn't get dusty. And maybe there's crazy chemicals they can use that we can't use here to keep the dust down also.
I think that has to be it.
I think I got some on my foot, like, in Hungary one time, and it was like a two-month ordeal. But
they ate the sole of your shoe.
Right yeah. No, I mean, one foot is definitely smaller than the other now. But there's a...
Hopefully it's not the right foot, right?
No, it's a left foot. Luckily, you don't even need to use the clutch in these cars, so it's cool. But the they're doing a great job of putting these tracks together. You know, you can't see from the outside all of the boxes that they have to work within. Working with the different sanctioning bodies and insurance and a lot of things hoops that we have to jump through here in the States that aren't the same as the rest of the world. To make a sport like this, which is fairly dangerous, and one of the only motorsports in the world where car-to-car contact isn't necessarily a penalty, mm-hmm. is a tricky thing. So I think they've been doing a great job. Probably the biggest holdback on the competition has been, you know, getting a feel for where that line is, how much contact there can be, and then just the flat-out number of cars. In the track, it's the size of the tracks are a little bit small for so many cars. But these are things that are getting worked out. No, it's not the first year of the series, not really the second year, but it's still very, very young compared to if you try to compare it to 45-year-old series around the rest of the world.
Yeah, and talking about that safety, you said you know this is one of the only series that's like cars contact to contact. How safe do you feel in the cars overall?
I feel pretty safe in the car. I mean, really, your biggest, and I've seen cars in Europe burst into flames. That's your biggest thing is fire. You know, that the cars are pretty tough. As long as the two biggest fears are, some places in the U.S. tracks, there's some concrete corners that you have to watch out for, but it's fire and dust.
Yeah.
And the dust doesn't sound like that would be a dangerous thing, but if a car spins out in the dust and the other cars are going 80 miles an hour through it blind, then you quickly see why dust is pretty dangerous. It's because the head-on crashes. But I feel pretty safe in the cars, and now our jump is a tabletop. So
Right. You're
not clearing this metal ramp that this year, because we've been racing in rain all year.
Yeah, it's not rallycross without rain.
Yeah, apparently not. But
apparently.
These ramps, like if they're metal and they're wet, then it's just ice.
Mm-hmm.
Because our rubber slicks get on them and you literally, you just get wheel spin the whole way and that just rotates the car and then it would be an amazing display.
Yeah, amazing display is right.
One of your new Hot Wheels stunts or something.
Yeah. Yeah, land sideways and then barrel
try
roll.
Keep
but
that to a minimal.
That's
here.
How my Hot Wheels toys always worked, actually. This, you know, when we first started talking about the Hot Wheels thing, my first thing was it was like one out of 20 jumps I ever got the car to land in the Hot
How
Wheels.
How do you practice something like that?
And then your dog steals the car anyway. So,
by
practice.
The way, practice your Hot Wheels stunts and all that. I know you're talking about actual little cars, but I'm just curious.
Oh, the Hot Wheels stunt. Well, we couldn't practice the loop very well.
Yeah,
because with the jump that we did at the Indy 500, you could start off small and make it bigger and bigger and bigger, and then eventually work up to like a world record distance, and then put it in. Then we rebuilt the whole structure at Indianapolis, took away the braking zone after the jump. Yeah, put it on a wall, and then went for it. But the loop, you know, you can't start with a small loop and then build bigger. So for those, we build them in a location, a Hot Wheels test facility. That's what it's called. It's where all things amazing happen. And then we just tried it out. Greg and I Rochambeau'd for who went first for the loop. And I can't remember if he won or lost, but he went first.
Noted.
Yeah, but those are fun things. And to a certain extent, this racing this year, to get back to your point on GRC, has been, I've been doing some of the European races, but the GRC races have been very video game-ish in a lot of ways. It does feel like you're kind of in a toy. When I watch the videos, it looks like they're toys.
Yeah.
When you go into the first corner and you're kind of bouncing around, it's like the best video game ever.
I'm totally quoting you on that one. It's like the best video game ever.
That's going to be the new show.
I know.
GRC is the best video game ever.
I mean, it just feels like that because you have the roll cage and you see your hands in the foreground, you know, just like the screen, except when the car is coming in or you see a car spin in front of you. It actually hurts when you hit them. It's like that's the difference, I think.
Our video game wins in that one, I think.
Well, you know, in talking about you, I mean, you know, obviously, I think I was looking through, and you're still one of the winningest drift drivers in Formula Drift competition. You know, obviously, two GRC championships. I mean, you know, how's your background with driving all these different types of vehicles? I mean, helped in the GRC with all the elements that are thrown at you.
Well, I think the reason that I have never really focused on a single championship for a very long time is because I like the challenge of learning new stuff. So from the rally racing, road racing, off-road stuff, you know, Pikes Peak-ish, drifting, things like that, and rallycross, they all have their own little challenges. It's all four tires and a steering wheel, so it's all, you know, similar. But the rallycross was one that, when I first got in, was like the most challenging because the car was just so crazy. And the car has some dynamic issues with itself. Like the differentials are locking differentials, and they all drive the tires the same speed once they're on the gas. And so if you're turning, the tires are all fighting against each other. But there's enough power to make that fight turn into sliding. So the car always wants to slide. So as a driver, your job is to keep the car from sliding, even though it really wants to. And so that it can be it's an interesting challenge, I think. And so probably setting those cars up through the years to do their different skills has been the most beneficial thing for me in rallycross, is just to get ahead, you know, head around what needs to happen in order to make it go faster on a track. The driving side of it, yeah, drifting helps a little bit, but as Scott said, all-wheel drive is, you know, you throw it in backwards and still cruise away pretty quick. I never drove shifter carts like he did, but anytime I have, yeah, it's a similar experience where everything happens very, very fast, and you just sort of like chaos, and then you're back out on the straightaway again. That's kind of the feeling, and that is what you get out of these cars. So I can see how that benefited him quite a bit. And actually, the first time I met Scott Speed was at Stars of Tomorrow when I was running sanctioning body for a small formula car series, and we gave him an award for winning Stars of Tomorrow. He didn't accept, and he ended up going to the Red Bull program, but he actually did take it. I think he came out for one day, but in any case, you know, all this stuff helps. Like even rental car abuse helps. That's awful to say,
but really,
yeah. But seriously, when we go. You know, shooting movies or doing stunts for Hot Wheels and all that stuff, where you're kind of learning new suspension stuff and you know, the suspension settings we used on the Hot Wheels jump to make it fly right when it left the ramp, we use in the rallycross car. So we use all of that information for everything.
It is absolutely amazing what all goes into it.
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
It's cool stuff.
Well, I know that you have to get out and check out the track. Your driver's meeting is coming up so
yes.
soon there, Tanner.
Thank you very much. Very nice to talk to you.
Yeah, you
thank
too.
You
okay.
so much.
Okay. All right. See you.
We're going to cut to a short break, Kate, and we'll come back. We'll wrap this thing up.
Sounds good.
Fortune 500 companies choose Royal Purple Lubricants to protect and improve the performance of their multi-million dollar equipment. The same high performance technology is also available for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, or ATV. Royal Purple enhances performance and provides superior protection for anything wrapped in metal. Royal Purple is the performance oil that outperforms. For independent tests and endorsements that document Royal Purple benefits, go to royalpurple.com. That's royalpurple.com.
Experience the evolution of Action Motorsports Radio. High impact, no filler, huge guests, and only the motorsports you care about. Off-road, rally, drifting, motocross, snowcross. Join the revolution and tune in to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, hosted by trophy truck driver Jim Beaver, every Monday at 9:30 a.m. Pacific at downanddirtyshow.com.
Two drivers, two very different stories heading home on a dark evening.
I hit the open road.
A deer popped out of nowhere. I panicked.
I saw a deer in the road. I slowed down.
I jerked the wheel. I wish I could have seen it.
I drove around it and was home before the next song on the radio.
With Silver Star Headlights from Sylvania, you'll see more of the road ahead. Remember, headlights dim over time. Replace them before you are left in the dark. Visit your automotive retailer and choose the whitest, brightest light. Silver Star Headlights from Sylvania.
We're back with GRC Live Radio from Atlanta Motor Speedway. And speaking of Atlanta Motor Speedway, we've got the president of Atlanta Motor Speedway here. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I am really looking forward to today. There's been months and months and months of preparations and discussions and track designs and track redesigns and track re-redesigns. And finally it's here. The track's built out there, and the guys, I think, are kind of chomping at the bit to get out on it. You know, it's kind of neat for these guys because they don't go to places that the tracks are the same anywhere. And so every time they run one of these events, it's a new adventure. And I think they kind of look at it as a new adventure. They've been out walking, looking at the track, and it'll be really cool when they finally get out there after all this time.
Yeah, I think it's got to be exciting for them, you know, to see these, see what comes up, you know, and what design is going to be thrown at them this time. You know, it's got to be exciting as a driver, and seeing this facility, being here yesterday, it's just a beautiful facility you guys have here.
Well, thank you. Believe it or not, this place is 53 years old.
Wow.
One of the first super speedways in NASCAR, and of course our company bought it in 1990 and been many revisions and expansions and things like that. But we're proud of the facility, and this is a good market, and a lot of interest in this event today. I think the challenge for Global Rallycross Racing is simply for people to be exposed to the product. When they see the product, the reception is going to be tremendous, and so it's something we're going to see build, because the people who come will like it, want to come back and see it again, and bring their friends. And just getting this thing launched, and I think Global Rallycross is doing a great job with that. We've got some very visible competitors, which always helps. There's no shortage of storylines, and I know Kate does a great job of getting all those out there and the exposure for the series. So it's something we look forward to watching grow. I think it's going to be a visible force in American motorsports.
Yeah. Any small part of you cringe when you see them dumping dirt on your beautiful track out there?
Well, you know, yes, but we've all prepared ourselves for that. The biggest thing is our grass area. We take great pride in that. It's almost like a golf course out there, and we've got about a 3-week turnaround. So we've taken great pains to protect the grass, and the guys building the course have done a good job with that. And I think next week this time we'll look at it, and there will be no visible signs, hopefully.
No, hopefully. I like how you say that.
That's a hopefully there.
Well, I remember when I came out for the announcement, I was really amazed by the cleanliness of this track. It was sterile. It was clean. It was bright and colorful. Like, it was literally like this was just an amazing. This track really stood out to me. So, you know, much kudos to you and your team. It's been a great experience working with you guys. And you know, in the track itself, I know
we've got a very lean staff, and they really work hard. This isn't a job. This is what we do. This is what defines us. And we get big comments out in our campgrounds, and I call it on our campus, big oak trees and lots of shade, and the campers love that. And it's just a cool atmosphere to come here and enjoy and experience an event.
Well, I was telling somebody when we pull in, you know, I've been to a lot of these tracks, and I said I call them concrete jungles. And this one, you come in, and even on the infield, there's grass, and it's just a beautiful facility. Like you said, you know, driving around by the campgrounds, I mean, it looks like a place somebody want to come and spend a week for a race, and you know, and make it a family vacation type of thing.
And we do. We have people who jog and bike, and there's somebody here enjoying the facility all the time, and that's something we're proud of. We like it. We enjoy it ourselves. We got fishing lakes out here, and pecan groves in the fall. People come and get pecans, and It wouldn't be Georgia without the countries. But, it's neat. And, you know, we have a variety of events. We have not just racing events. We have a lot of foot races. We had a color run here a few months ago. They had about 22,000 runners competing.
That's amazing.
So this facility is used weekly for something. Drag racing every Friday night, legend racing in the summer, just lots of activity.
And speaking of legend racing, you know, Ed here is not ignorant at all to racing himself. He has been full through and through in the racing world himself. And, Ed, you know, what's your background? Give Jim a little rundown.
Well, I grew up a racing fan. My favorite uncle was a NASCAR fan and introduced me to it at about age 8. And I actually started covering racing events in high school up in Virginia. Did that through college, and about a month before I graduated from college, I went to work at Bristol Motor Speedway and have worked in the NASCAR industry ever since 1977. So I guess I'm an old-timer now. They used to call me less than rookie, but they don't do that anymore. that's been a labor of love for me. And about 10 years ago, I did start competing in legend racing. Our company builds and sells those cars, and it's been quite a lot of fun. Never thought I'd win a race, and I've managed to win about 45 now, and
That's a good running list right there.
Now I get mad if I don't win.
Of course, you got
like
that.
Like any other racer in America.
No, 45,
so it's been fun.
I know. Yeah. You guys should go out the bat and see what happens.
Yeah, but I'm a little older than Tanner, so it's taken me a little longer to do that.
No, well, this is great. And, you know, again, I know personally working hand-in-hand with your staff at AMS, I know GRC as a whole, it's been really, really wonderful, you know, working with everyone.
Well,
and we're really excited about the race here tonight at 6:30.
Well, like I said, we love what we do. You know, still plenty of time to let people know about it and get folks in here. I have a 20-year-old son, and I know he's bringing his entire contingent with him. And those guys will probably be, you know, knocking on the gate out there to get in before we open. So
that's the spirit.
I think that enthusiasm is what we see for this event. I appreciate all the cooperation. A lot of the guys have helped us with promotion this week, and that means a lot. I mean, it's they're investing in the future of this series. That's what's going to make it get to where it needs to be.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
That's very true.
I appreciate you taking the time to chat with us today, and, I think it's going to be a great event this evening. What time gates open at 3?
Gates
ESPN's
open
at 6:30 East?
Yes, please tune in at ESPN 2, ESPN 3 as well at 6:30 p.m. Eastern tonight. It's going to be quite the show. I don't think anyone would doubt that at all.
It is quite the show. I love that run to the first corner.
I don't think
all the footage of all the events I've seen, I don't think there's been one yet where everybody went in the first turn and came out of turn one in the same physical condition they went in. That somebody comes out with a bumper hanging off or something like that. That's what makes it
rally
cool.
Cross. That's what we call it. That's rally cross right there.
That's why we do it.
No, absolutely.
You guys have
rally cross is like nothing in motorsports.
That's what they say. That's for sure.
Y'all have a great day, and we're
too.
So pleased to have you here at Atlanta Motor Speedway. I hope you have a great time.
Thank
right,
you,
thank
Ed.
You.
Again, Ed Clark, president of Atlanta Motor Speedway.
All right, Kate. Well, we got about a minute left. What should we tell these people? 6:30 East, the ESPN. What do you think they're gonna see tonight?
Oh God, you know what? I think it's gonna be another run for it. It's gonna be Toppy Tanner. I think Ken's determined to get a win in there sometime. You know, we have such competitive guys out there, and they just wanna win. And Toppy's been pretty hot out there, so I'm not really sure if he's beatable. Then you know, we have a close second, third, fourth for those points. So we'll see. I don't know. What are you thinking?
I don't know. You know, Toppy's been tough. All the OMSC cars are fast, I think. You know, there's something in Ken, though. You know, he's yet to, in a couple of years, take a GRC win. He's still winless in global rallycross, which is surprising to me.
Yep. Yeah, I agree.
You know,
sometime
that win's going
to
come.
It will. And after talking to him, it was after Bristol. He was ready. He's ready for a win, for sure.
So, yeah, but I think it should be accepted. And everybody should tune in 6:30 East, ESPN2. And if you're in the Atlanta area, be here.
Be here. Tickets are $20. It's very, very great to get up close and personal with these drivers. They're a lot of fun. It's gonna be a great race in here at Atlanta Motor Speedway.
All right. Well, it's been great co-hosting with you today, and we'll see you out on the track.
Sounds good. Thanks so much, Jim.
All right. Thanks. We'll be right back.
commute